Aaron Jeffrey. He is that Aaron Benward and his dad, Jeffrey Benward, a couple of days removed from Father's Day, and taking us through the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation, spotting how Jesus is represented there. So good stuff, I think. 58 Degrees, WWIP. It reminds me of a book that's a favorite of mine and my buddy Jason Cann's, which is 66 Love Letters from Larry Crabb. And we were both in Houston last year. Larry said in a side conversation between sessions that somebody asked him his favorite book of his many, 26 or 27, and he said he identified that one. So what do you know? Good morning, Jason.
Yeah, I think, hi, good morning. You know, I think you and I might both agree, even though that's not my favorite book of Larry's, that one really, I've described it as his magnum opus.
And, yeah, he's described it that way, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's
took him 5 years to write it.
Right. You know, and I think it's interesting that he, at least at that point, still continues to read from that book. And
right. Absolutely.
As an author, to circle back and read the things we've written. And so, yeah.
Well, tell you what, on the heels of what we just did, we started out in the back, in the epilogue, you've got the story that everyone needs to hear, which I'm a wild fan of. And so he had said, even last May in Houston, that he likes to read that to kind of center himself. And so we left off at Joshua. And so I think since we just went through the whole Bible with the father and son team there, maybe we'll pick up with Judges in just a moment. But first of all, let's see. We've got our Black History Spotlight on this day. William Rudolph, a former polio victim who became the world-famous track star, won 3 gold medals in the Olympics in 1940. How about that? Polio victim onto a track star. That's quite a story.
That is quite a story. Absolutely. That's not one that I would think.
So. You started taking us through, we talked about tattoos yesterday. If people want to hear more, they'll check the podcast. If it's not already up, it will be from yesterday. And so you told us about your first tattoo had to do with shalom.
Right.
Which is kind of, again, define shalom.
Yeah, so it's peace, but it's bigger than peace. It also includes the notion of wholeness, the way things should be, and I think that's the state in which God has created and is recreating in new heavens and new earth. So that was that word has had a lot of meaning to me.
So so here you are. You get that first tattoo on what, an arm?
Yep, it's on my right inner forearm.
All right, and so.
Yep.
So take me through the thought process of saying that, okay, I wasn't going to stop there. Why? What was the decision-making process in getting number two?
Yeah, you know, so the second one that I got is on my left inner forearm, so they actually look very similar to one another. They're both done in Hebrew and kind of a calligraphic Hebrew. So that the one on the other arm is kind of another similar important concept for me, and it's something that I really want to remember, and it's a Hebrew word for freedom, and it has to do with God setting captives free. And so I'm someone who historically has been pretty legalistic, and I think it's real easy for me to believe that I'm still burdened by trying to please God, as opposed to understanding that through the blood of the cross, I have been set free. And so I think there is this, you know, the two parallel one another. So it's shalom, and the word is hafshi, but it's peace and freedom. It's basically what it means. And that's
say the word again.
Hafshi. It's hard to pronounce because it has a really hard CH sound at the beginning. But you know, I spent months researching that word because I wanted to get it just right. But it's for me that notion of peace and freedom. I really try to live from that place. I think a lot of times in terms of my understanding of my relationship with God.
And do having these words shalom and hafshi, or however I said it, the first time I've ever said it. But having to do with freedom, does it help you in the ways that you wanted it to?
Yes, absolutely. For me, I think that's It talks in the Old Testament, you know, the binding the words of God at your temples, right? So they would do that in order to keep the word of God right in front of them. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a very visible reminder every day to look and say, oh, yeah, that's the things that I'm valuing. That's the things that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And that's really been the purpose for me, is really wanting to be reminded visibly of those things that are I value, and I think God values.
Well, tell you what, we are not going to have time to get to the story everyone needs to hear. But I do want to close with this, because it's going to lead into our Blast from the Past song of the morning, which is from Twyla Paris this morning, called How Beautiful. But here's the deal. It's just striking to me how often something incredibly ugly allows for something beautiful. Now, the most graphic example of this of all time certainly is nothing uglier than the cross of Christ, and yet right. Nothing more beautiful. And in fact, Twyla's song will be about that. But Bubba Wallace, the only black driver in NASCAR to have a noose found in his garage, is appalling. And yet NASCAR drivers all, in a form of unity, getting behind and pushing his car in this show of unity was beautiful. And it's just striking to me how often we can have something so ghastly and yet something beautiful. It's almost like the more ugly, the more beautiful. And again, when things like that happen, that's a God thing, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to look for those evidences of beauty when so much seems dark.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
All right. We'll find out, did Jason stop at two tattoos or did he get a third? We'll find out tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Now, yes, Hillary is here, but she would like to be.
So what? I'm tired today. I'm just tired today. It's
no,
okay.
I mean, I've worked with you for a while, and I know you. And I was able to just sense that.
Something ain't right.
You don't seem quite as perky as usual.
I know. That's okay. We all have those days.
Yeah.
That's what caffeine is for.
Yeah, that's right. You've been drinking more coffee lately.
I have. Ironically, today I didn't have time to make coffees.
Yeah.
So I made tea while I was here. I made a black tea. So we'll see if that helps.
I have joked before that
yes.
when I, you know, we were talking about this guided tour to Greece and retracing the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. I have joked that when I see Paul in heaven, I'm going to say, did you somehow get it wrong when you said, if I have food and clothing, I will be content with that? I know you had the sleepless night in the ocean and all that, but
yeah.
I mean, like,
what about coffee?
Food and clothing and sleep.
Sleep.
Like, if I
sleep.
I mean, couldn't he have maybe said, if I have food and clothing
and
enough
rest.
Sleep, I will be content with that? Because
food, clothing, and rest.
Life is so much when you're tired, it's just.
It
awful.
Is. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Well, and I feel like this is like that. Not like I slept like a rock last night. This is not the I'm tired. This is like the fatigue of too much.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
But you are a go, go, go person.
Person. I am. I really am. But
until
here's the
you
thing.
Just kind of go.
No, but here's the thing.
For Mother's Day, your birthday, your Christmas, you want
a nap. Yeah. No, I think what it is I am a go, go, go person, and I enjoy the activities and dynamics that bring, like, because I'm an extrovert, you know,
yes.
And so a lot of those things bring me energy,
sure.
If you will.
Uh-huh.
But, like, so much of that has been stripped away in the last few months that's
okay.
a challenge. And then, you know, caregiving on top of it.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? I'm not being.
You love your dad.
I totally love my dad.
And he's
Absolutely.
Recovering at your house from a
yes.
full knee replacement surgery a week ago Monday.
Yes.
But let's just be honest. I mean, having someone in your house.
Mm.
That's not typical. That just is.
Yeah.
It's not like you're fully at peace. It's
yes.
not. It's challenging.
Companies like fish start to stink after 3 days. Who
oh,
was
yeah.
it that said that? Have you heard
I don't know.
That?
I don't know who said that.
Yeah. I'm going to find out because it's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah. You dig it up. All right. Thank you. Well, let's see. Let's just real quick do what is going on today. Special events. And what do we? We've got it's Widow's Day.
Mm.
Okay.
Indeed. It is Pecan Sandy Day. Yum!
Mm-hmm. It's Let It Go Day.
Runner Selfie Day.
And Eat at a Food Truck Day.
Eat at a food... It was Benjamin Franklin that said guests are like fish. They begin to smell after 3 days.
There you go. Wow. He's a smart guy. Also, our number of the day, 5,800. Yeah. The pounds of raisins eaten each week in the
no.
U.S.
No. Oh, you.
Goodbye, Hillary. She's out. Oh, she's missing it. Yes, Raisin Bran. All you people having Raisin Bran this morning, think of Hillary.
Second Chance Birthdays, it's a very fun promotion that honestly we hope we never have to do again, because we hope we never have a year quite like this one with a pandemic. But for all the kids who missed out on birthdays in March or April or May, we've partnered with some great friends, including Avenue Orchard and Team Appleseed and McDonald Area Catholic Schools, Adams Automotive Center, and Western Wisconsin Health. And what we're trying to do is bring a little joy to the life of kids who may have missed out on a party with friends and family. And yesterday, guys, was the very first day of delivery.
Yeah.
So
saw some of the videos on Facebook.
Yeah, so. We had some Facebook Live. We have pictures, and it was super cool. So for one thing, the first thing I did was go down to Festival Foods because Festival is making a personalized cake for each Second Chance Birthday child. So
that's awesome.
Our two birthday kids yesterday, we had Noah from the Lake Halley area, not too far away. Noah turned 8 during kind of the peak time of COVID, and we had a personalized cake for Captain Underpants. Loves the Captain Underpants books, and that was super cool. And again, Noah just lit up when he saw that. It was so
How
cool
fun.
To see that. And then we brought along our friend Kevin's Juggling the Balloons, who is just absurdly talented. He is so good.
We've seen some of his great work.
So I mean, he juggles beanbags, and then he juggles batons, and then he juggles knives. And
really,
you know,
all at a safe social distance and a safe physical distance.
He's a good friend of your family, right?
The Schwartzes are definitely good friends of ours. So very talented.
Yeah. So again, he did a little mini performance for each child with juggling. And we gave them a bag full of goodies. I mean, everything from Avenue Orchard frozen cider and apple watermelon jelly to stress balls and little footballs and Olsen's ice cream and Topper's pizza. Just so many different glow sticks. Just, I mean, it was a bag full of MyPillow, Roll It, GoPillow. I mean, just a great big bag full of goodies. And then after Kevin did his juggling act, and again, I'm saying this to whet the appetites because there are parents who know where we're going next. We're surprising your kids, but after Kevin does his juggling act, then he puts on his big apron of sorts with just all of the different balloons. And then he starts blowing up and twisting balloons, and he made incredible, again, personalized for each child. So I said, Noah loves Captain Underpants and Dog Man, which is another series of books from the same author. He made a Dog Man out of balloons. It was incredible.
Wow.
You know, Kevin was at my house doing a birthday party one time, and my dad, always the funny man, walks up and says, "Can you make me a skunk?" And sure enough, twist, 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 my dad had a balloon skunk.
It is.
I mean, it's
Kevin's as good as I've ever seen with the balloon animal.
Yeah, he's awesome. I can make like a worm, a balloon worm, or a balloon stick. A balloon snake.
Wow.
Cannot make skunks and dogs.
Just watching the efficiency with which he twists, and it's incredible.
It's crazy.
And so our second birthday child was Kendra, and Kendra turned 7. And Kendra was a little frightened of four strangers pulling up in a big logo vehicle. So we coaxed her out a little bit with the festival cake and the goodie bag. And then Kendra, from her parents, we found out that she loves a show called Butterbean's Cafe. I had never heard of this. Kevin had never heard of this. He looked it up and made like a full-scale replica of Butterbean, who again has this cafe. So she has wings. She's kind of like a fairy and has a little whisk. And he made that out of balloons for Kendra.
Man.
Amazing.
It was super cool. And then, of course, there were siblings. There's little Wesley. And then Kendra had 3 siblings as well. And so Kevin, not wanting to have the siblings left out, made his famous balloon lightsabers.
Ooh.
For the siblings as well, too. So
fantastic.
I think a great time was had by all. I certainly enjoyed it.
2 down, 8 to go. People can still register.
Yes, WWIB.com under Second Chance Birthdays. The sooner you register, the better your chances, because, again, we still have more drawings to do.
Mm-hmm.
So will you, and if you can't answer, you can't answer. When will the next birthdays 3 and 4 be?
They will be today. They will be today coming
Super
up
fun.
In the noon hour.
Yay.
So.
And again, people don't know. It's not like people who have a birthday today. These are people who have birthdays in March, April, or May.
Yeah, so. And then we got the station vehicle rolling up.
Do you guys stay and enjoy some of the festival cake?
I have not. And after seeing some of the pictures in my... Okay, it's not a dad bod. It's a father figure. Yeah. But after seeing that, it's like, maybe I should lay off the cake just a bit.
It's tough to do.
I do believe that we talk about this every single year. The wife carrying world championships.
Okay.
Now, given that this is a COVID year, they have been canceled.
Of course.
The annual Feats of Strength event held in Finland, not going to happen here in 2020. The event entices people from around the world to compete in groups of three couples at a time around a sand track-filled obstacle course, which includes a deep water pool. And again, the entrants must carry their wives. The designated wife has to be at least 17 and weigh in at a minimum of 108 pounds. So,
if she's lighter than that, she has to carry a weighted rucksack given to her by officials.
Wouldn't the wife weigh-in precedes the wife honey, carrying championships.
You gotta lose 5 pounds because I gotta carry you.
World champions win the equivalent of the wife's weight in beverages, a bag full of wife carrying merchandise, I guess, and an official statue for the lawn or garden.
So if you win based on her weight, honey, you gotta gain 10 pounds.
Then we get more stuff. Again, this is held in Finland, but Australia, the UK, apparently the United States of America, India, Hong Kong, and Germany all have their own versions. Now, there are other bizarre feats of strength events around the world. For instance, the cheese chasing roll and wake in Cooper's Hill, Gloucester, United Kingdom.
We've talked about that before.
That sounds like a Wisconsin event.
I've seen videos of them chasing the wheel of cheese
down a hill.
People get hurt doing that.
They say it's a roll and wake, and I'm wondering about the whole thing with the wake. Is that because of the mortality rate of the participants?
Also in the UK, the man versus horse marathon.
Extreme ironing world championships in Bavaria. Okay, I would lose that one because I do not iron.
The Nathan's hot dog eating contest, Coney Island, New York. Yep, we know about that one.
I think it's still going to go on this year.
Oh, yes, but it's like, it's the
no
kind of, there's
I
no
think.
Fans. That's
right.
It. Yeah.
That's everything.
It's just kind of sad and lonely
this
eating
hot
dogs.
This is a new one I've never heard of before. The baby jumping festival in Spain?
I don't
that
know.
That does not sound safe.
Is it babies jumping? Babies jumping.
They're supposed to jump in
over
place.
Babies?
Like a little Johnny
know.
Jump up or something? My kids loved those.
I don't know.
We will
know.
Have to check into that one.
Some odd things
odd
that happen
of strength
out
around
there.
The world. Next year, we'll get the wife carrying championships back.
And I thought the sauerkraut eating contest in Chippewa Falls at Oktoberfest was odd, but I mean, it's no extreme ironing.
We've broadened our horizons.
All right, so I was telling Caleb and Hillary that this weekend at the Altoona Library, outside,
they have a great library in Altoona.
Yeah, appreciate that. Eau Claire's is much bigger. But anyhow, Tim Alberta's book, American Carnage, on the front lines of the Republican Civil War and the rise of President Trump. I like reading political books and sports books and faith books. And so this is a paragraph I was telling you guys about yesterday, and I felt like there was some disbelief. So here's the actual paragraph.
All right.
From Tim Alberta. He says, to understand Trumpism is to understand the dramatic national makeover of the previous 10 years. When Obama was sworn in as president in January of 2009, he opposed same-sex marriage. Facebook lagged behind MySpace in monthly web traffic. That was probably put the brakes on. Because it was like, really? Is that possible? It feels like Facebook's been around forever.
Right.
I remember MySpace, but that late?
Yeah.
That would have that much traffic, yeah.
But he checked it, and apparently that's the case. Further on, Airbnb had just launched its website. Tiger Woods was the world's most dominant athlete. Uber didn't exist in January of 2009.
Wow.
Nobody had heard the word gluten. That, too, feels like it's been forever. The Twitter account, @RealDonaldTrump, had not yet been created.
Wow.
And see, I started here at the station in June of 2009. So, again, that was I was finishing up my senior year of college and thinking about all those things. I'm like, is it that long? Like, there was no Uber. People weren't talking or bragging all the time about gluten or lack thereof. And MySpace had more traffic than Facebook.
That's what alternate reality was this?
Yeah.
What realm have we gone to?
I mean,
it's
and I
crazy.
Remember the growth of Facebook when I started at college. So Facebook came out in 2004. I started at college in 2005. And one of my buddies was like, hey, you guys on this? And this was when Facebook was only accessible by those with a .edu collegiate email address. And by the end of that school year, because we were like, this is pretty cool. This is just for us. Then they started letting high schoolers on by the end of the year. And then we're
that's not cool.
the cool.
Not as cool. And then the floodgates opened.
And then they let moms on. And
then everybody
really
could be
cool.
on there.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyhow, I just thought that was interesting.
Crazy world.
Time. Bob Dylan had it right. The times, they are a-changing. Always, right? Well, research on dating. This was the headline in the last day or two.
Which applies to none of us.
Right.
But let's
right.
talk
we're
about
not married.
It.
Happily married. Love my wife, Becky. 21. Yes. We're going on 22 years.
That's awesome. Dean and I are at 18 and a half. Yay.
We just passed 260 months.
I just
months.
Know
What's
that.
With the math?
I just know that. Well, you know, you do 10 years is 120 months.
Yeah.
20 years, 240. It's not that hard after that. So
there you go.
Oh.
Here's the study. Women less likely to date guys with cats.
Really?
A new study suggests women aren't very interested in dating guys with cats. Colorado State University researchers showed hundreds of women photos of two men. About 38% of women said that they were likely to date the man that didn't come with a cat, but only 33% of women likely to go out with a guy after seeing his picture that included a furry friend.
Was this all based purely on photos? I guess that's kind of what our society is like these days, too. It's just...
What's interesting is they viewed the man with the cat as, get this, less masculine, more neurotic, agreeable, and open, and less dateable. Okay, so I get the more neurotic part. Like, if I think you're neurotic, I'm not going to date you. But if you're more agreeable and open, wouldn't I be more likely to date you?
Was this before or after that Tiger King show?
That's a good question. That's good. That's a good question.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. I'm not sure.
I've never watched that, but man, it pervaded all throughout the spring.
I thought when I saw this study earlier yesterday, and I was trying to find that initial report, that it also said that for guys who showed pictures with dogs, it really helped their chances.
Oh, yeah. That's women are all over that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't own a dog before we got married, and I own a dog now because of getting married. So.
What about a man with a guinea pig? What does that say?
It's a whole nother
story. I never went on a dating app, and I don't think you did either.
No.
But
they
didn't
exist when we were dating, Mark.
Wouldn't we more likely be to like have probably a basketball? I mean, I probably...
Something like
I
that.
I never owned my own dog like on
Renovella,
my own.
But,
and I didn't get married until I was 34. I mean, friends had dogs that I lived with. But
Yeah, I mean, some chief identifier about you, what you love, your personality. So I guess if that's a cat or a dog,
because
for some people, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
so. That's true.
Guinea pig. Go with the guinea pig. Let me know how that goes, guys out there. Single men, let me know how the guinea pig works for you.
I got to tell you, though, having two ferrets, and particularly Gizmo, I mean, it is a weekly, if not multi-weekly event. Like, where is Gizmo? And I mean, you got to have the basement door shut. You got to have the upstairs door shut. And then.
Where's Gizmo?
Forget where's Waldo. Yes. Where's
absolutely.
Gizmo.
Where's Gizmo? And he's still in our care, thankfully.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.